From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called A Vision of Victory and How to Attain It, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. Christ himself is the builder of his spiritual temple, and he has built it on the mountains of his unchangeable affection, his omnipotent grace, and his infallible truthfulness. But as it was in Solomon's temple, so in this, the materials need making ready. There are the cedars of Lebanon, but they are not framed for the building. They are not cut down and shaped and made into those planks of cedar whose odoriferous beauty shall make glad the courts of the Lord's house in paradise. There are also the rough stones still in the quarry. They must be hewn thence and squared. All this is Christ's own work. Each individual believer is being prepared and polished and made ready for his place in the temple. But Christ's own hand performs the preparation work. Afflictions cannot sanctify, excepting as they are used by him to this end. Our prayers and efforts cannot make us ready for heaven apart from the hand of Jesus, who fashioneth our hearts aright. As in the building of Solomon's temple, there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house, because all was brought perfectly ready for the exact spot it was to occupy. So is it with the temple which Jesus builds. The making ready is all done on earth. When we reach heaven, there will be no sanctifying us there, no squaring us with affliction, no planing us with suffering. No, we must be made meet here. All that Christ will do beforehand, and when he has done it, we shall be ferried by a loving hand across the stream of death, and brought to the heavenly Jerusalem to abide as eternal pillars in the temple of our Lord. Beneath his eye and care the edifice shall rise, majestic, strong, and fair, and shine above the skies.
The swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall
I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand.
view his blessed face and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for his mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it.
Thank you.
As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua needed to be prepared, spiritually as well as militarily, for the battles that lay ahead. In the opening chapter of the book of Joshua, God provided him with the inspiration he needed and instructed him to remember a number of important truths. These are things that every Christian must keep before him in his personal fight of faith. First of all, Joshua was to remember who it was that had commissioned him for the fight. Then he was to maintain his focus on both the immediate and the ultimate objectives. He was to remember that the source of his power was having the presence of God, and that the standard for his actions was the Word of God. True discipleship is not without its cost, and in undertaking this bold venture, Joshua was made keenly aware of the price of victory. Finally, the Lord made it clear to Joshua and to us that retreat is impossible, but because both the battle and strength are God's, victory is inevitable. Now to conclude this message called A Vision of Victory and How to Attain It, here is Dr. Cairns.
I've often told you, a young man I knew in business, and in the line of business he was in, it was very hard to keep deadlines and promise dates or promise times. And orders would often get behind. It wasn't all his fault. In fact, in many cases, he was simply trying to deal with other people's faults, though some of it was his own fault. And he took to the habit of covering up. At first it was just a cover-up, and then it became an outright lie, and then it became a pattern of lies. It became a pattern that was so known in the company of which he was a member and a Christian that the unsaved came and they just don't believe a word he tells you. He's a liar. When I fell foul of his lies, I must confess I was bitterly disappointed and I was angry. Not that my order was not ready, there was nothing critical about the day or the hour, but I was angry that an ungodly fellow to whom I had been diligently witnessing every opportunity I could get was able to hide behind the broken testimony of his colleague in the company. I trust the young man learned a lesson. I think he did. I took him aside that day and I said, never as long as you live, never, ever do that again. You can afford to lose business. You can afford to lose money. You can afford to lose friends. But you cannot afford to lose your testimony. Because when you've lost it, it's the hardest thing in the world ever to regain. Scripture must be our standard. God's law is absolute. Wisdom says in Proverbs 8:20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. David looked at Solomon as he was assuming control of the nation. He said, keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper. The promise is boldly put to him in 1 Chronicles 22:13, then shalt thou prosper if thou take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged concerning Israel. That's the standard. Scriptural living. Remember, obedience in all things is the mark of a good soldier. The soldier doesn't always know why. He just knows what he's told to do. To obey, says the Scripture, is better than sacrifice. Now that's not easy. So the Lord tells Joshua, remember the price of godly service. Four times he's told to be strong. Verse 6, 7, 9, and then by the people themselves in verse 18. What's the meaning of that? Time forbids me to go into it in detail. You look at those four references and you'll find the four things about which he had to have strength and courage. They weren't easy. Leading and ruling the people of God. Sticking to the word of God. Fighting the enemy. And then judging rebellion in the church. Those are not easy. A good work is never easy. The devil's not just going to lie down and die before us. A good work is never easy. There's a price to be paid. There's a cost to discipleship. What the Lord is calling for from you and me to recognize when the hardships come, that's not a proof that the work's not worthwhile. That's not a proof that God has suddenly forsaken you. That's not a proof that the plan is off course. That's simply a proof that if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing no matter how hard it is and no matter how much effort, energy, and anything else that it costs. And then he has two final things to tell him. And these are from the whole passage, but especially verse 5 as summing up the whole passage. Remember, retreat is impossible. Retreat is impossible. No man's going to stand before you. Take the whole passage. There's not a breath of retreat. Now that's a crucial message for any army. The early going in World War II, when Britain was standing alone, she was losing ground everywhere. It seemed, and many people thought, that the end could not be long delayed. In North Africa, Rommel's invincible hosts were rolling forward. And it appeared, that it was only but a day or two, a week or two, a month or two before he would roll right through Egypt, get to the coast. North Africa would be gone. I'll not go into the importance strategically of North Africa. It was important. A new commander, Lord Alexander, was sent there. As he became Lord Alexander, general then. The field commander was a little known general by the name of Bernard Montgomery. Not the most loved of soldiers either in Britain or in America, let me tell you. But when he stood there in the desert, he gathered his men around. And in essence what he said was, I do not like, and he was talking especially to the commanders and through them to everybody, and he went from place to place spreading the same message. I do not like the atmosphere that I find here. There is talk of retreat. It is thought that there is a plan for withdrawal. There will be no retreat. If we cannot live here, then let us die here, but there will never be retreat. And almost overnight, the morale of the army was changed. Not just for that reason, for many other reasons. What was imminent defeat turned into one of the most brilliant victories of the war, the turning point in the entire war. No retreat. That was Paul's attitude. I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ. What's that saying? There is nothing in this world of such value to me that I will ever turn away for that thing. There is no person in the world of such value to me that I will turn away for that person. I count all things but loss. I count everything else but dung, that I may win Christ. And I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's attitude. That was Luther's attitude. I love Luther. And that sentence I quoted when I stood and watched, looked at the great memorial over in Germany with the various reformers all around there. And in the middle, Martin Luther. And in German, I'll not mangle the German language with the little that I learned of it there. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. There is no retreat. That's the constant call of Scripture. Let us go on. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, forward in all fronts, in personal holiness, in knowledge of the Word and will of God, in prevailing prayer, in opposing sin, in evangelizing the lost. Let us go on. Retreat is impossible. And finally, remember, victory is inevitable. Victory is certain. That's the assurance of the whole passage. Our God cannot fail, neither can His gospel. We're not laboring for the victory. We're laboring in the victory. There's a world of difference. Here then are the things that inspired Joshua. I trust this morning they inspire us. I leave you with the words of a very old-fashioned hymn, so old-fashioned that it's cut out of almost all our books nowadays. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things, with heart and soul and mind and strength, to serve the King of Kings. May God give us the vision of victory. And how to obtain it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the grace that has saved our guilty souls. There are many here who can give Thee thanks for Thy salvation. We thank Thee for the mercy that has given us any place, however remote, however humble it may appear to men, any place in serving Thee. We thank Thee, our God, that the mother raising little children, teaching them the gospel, though despised by so many in the world, is given by God a glorious task whose fruit will last to all eternity. We thank Thee, our God, that the man out in the workplace, given the privilege of meeting people in their own environment, showing them Christ, who's able to meet them there and save them. We thank Thee, Lord, that they also have a task given of God of vital significance and importance. We thank Thee for the united witness and work of the church. Lord, how Thou hast privileged us. Lord, inspire us today, as Thou didst Joshua. Show us the victory. Show us how to obtain it. And Lord, we pray that every step we take will be in the light of that ultimate success, that we shall indeed press on toward the mark. Remember those who are not saved. What a tragedy. To be living without God and without Christ, to be living their lives in rebellion, to be in the wrong side in the spiritual battle, to be doomed to failure, loss, and ruin. God, have mercy, for we thank Thee that Thy mercy takes Thine enemies, and through grace, and through the merits of the blood of Christ, makes them into Thy friends. Lord, save the lost here today, we pray. Bless those who travel now. Bless those who remain around Thy table, and do meet with us there. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.